Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Vibrant Health Solutions Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm really excited to be here. We broadcast live from Austin, Texas, and it just warms my heart to be able to bring you every week cutting-edge information about health topics that you can put into practice right away to improve your health. This week's topic is all about fats, and fat is one of those really controversial topics. You can get into heated arguments between health practitioners, authors, and speakers about how important fat is, how dangerous fat is, how helpful fat is, how fat makes you fat, how fat makes you skinny, and the list goes on and on. So today I am here not to say that I have the complete story on fat, not to say that I am the complete authority on fat, but to give you a perspective that broadens your understanding of fats and the importance of fats in your body and the dangers of inappropriate fats in your body. As far as what percentage of fat is the right percentage of fat, as far as what's the right amount of fat for you, those decisions I will leave up to you. You know, it's interesting. One of the things I always tell people is that you've got the best experimental ground right there before your eyes, right there in the flesh. It's you. There are studies all over the place, all over the world, that come up with conclusions that aren't necessarily accurate. And there are design flaws in lots of the studies. Many of the studies are performed by interest groups. In other words, big corporations that have a lot at stake. And they hire researchers or they fund researchers to do projects. They say, look, I've got grant money. I'm going to give you, I need a study that does this and this. Back when I was early days, just starting out, and I was at a conference that had a breakout session with health practitioners at the conference. And one of the folks that were in the meeting was a researcher, or had been a researcher in his college days and master's degree days and all that before he became a practitioner. And what he said was, you can design a study to show anything. And one time he was, you know, college, PhD candidate, and a company come over and said, we want you to design a study that proves that eggs don't raise cholesterol. So they did. And he said, in order to do that, we had to start with people with relatively high cholesterol in the first place, but also that were eating a lot of eggs in the first place, and show that adding 2 eggs a day to what they were already eating didn't raise cholesterol. So you can change the design of a study to prove just about anything you want to prove. And I'm not here today to talk about the dangers of studies, or, you know, some of the behind the scenes stuff. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of health sites out there that's their mission, is to expose the bad stuff, to expose the pharma bad stuff, to expose where people, you know, the government is not out to help you. That's not where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is a place of empowerment. I would like to be able to empower you to make choices that make sense for you. But then not just to make the choices based on a piece of paper and my recommendation, but to go out and try it for yourself. I'll give you an example. I'm a huge proponent of green smoothies. I start my day just about every day with a green smoothie, which is blended green food and with optionally some fruit in there. Lately, I haven't been putting any fruit in, and some seasonings and spices and whatever, but really high nutritional value. Most of the people I work with do really well with that, find that if that's the only change they make in their health, is to add one of these green smoothies in the morning, their energy soars. They feel great. But a small percentage don't. A small percentage feel worse. A small percentage get burning in their gut. Feel cravings for sugar for the rest of the day. Why is that? Hard to say. It's individual for each one. And with those people, I'll do tests and various things. It could be the oxalate content. It could be some food allergies. It could be that they've got some gastritis or irritation in their gut. There's a lot of reasons that it could be. But the truth of the matter is, I tell them, don't keep drinking them because you think it's good for you when it doesn't make you feel good. That's your experiment ground. The other way you can experiment is not just how you feel, but what does your blood look like? What do your lab tests look like? And I'm not one that says that lab tests are the ultimate and the perfect vehicle. A lot of the norms are based on populations that are not really well optimally. If you look around you, it's hard to find a group of people who are really optimally well in all places. So there are some limitations there, but there are some obvious places where you can see in a lab that you're just not functioning properly. And if you decide to do a certain thing nutritionally and you test yourself before that, and then you test yourself after several months doing that protocol and you're declining and you're not feeling that well in your body and your labs are showing that you're not doing well, that particular thing is not working for you. Some people do really, really, really well on low-fat diets. I've seen that, especially in my early days of practice. I put most everybody on a low-fat diet, thinking that that was the be-all and the end-all. And I would say 75% of the people did really, really well, but there were those 25% who didn't. And with those 25%, if we lowered the carbohydrates that they were eating, even the good carbohydrates, the whole grains, the sweet potatoes, good fruit, we lowered that and increased their fat. They thrived. So we're all unique biochemically. We're all unique genetically. Even though we're all the same species, there are so many genetic variations between us that make one food for someone poison and for the other person it's gold. So we're here to talk today about fats so that you can make a decision of what makes sense to you, and then you can try it out in your body. And I'm going to talk to you about some lab testing that you can do as well to test it out in the lab. So let's start with the whole question of good fats versus bad fats, and what fats really are and what they do in your body. Many think that the low-fat diet, the lower the fat, the better. Zero fat is the best. And I would caution you before you go that route. Fats are important in your body. All of the nutrients are important in your body or they wouldn't be there. It's the anti-nutrients that are not important in your body. It's the pesticides and the herbicides and the chemicals and things that irritate and aggravate that have no place in your body. Fats do not fit in that class. Fats are not evil. Fats are necessary. And the right amount of fats. One of my dear friends and colleagues, Dr. Lindsay Berkson, I'll borrow her quote. It's the Goldilocks principle. You don't want too much and you don't want too little. You want it to be just right. Remember the story of the three bears? Oh, this porridge is too hot and this porridge is too cold and this porridge is just right. And it was just right for her. Perhaps someone else would taste it and they have a cold constitution and they like it a little hotter. And someone else would say, oh, I'm having hot flashes. I like it a little colder. It's the just right principle, but just right for you. And I strongly believe that biochemical individuality and genetic individuality needs to be taken into account. Does that mean that everybody needs to go out and spend thousands of dollars on biochemical and genetic tests so they know what to eat? No. You use a basic guideline of common sense, which I'm going to share with you today, and then you bounce that off the reality of what's going on in your body and where do you feel the best and seem to be thriving. So fats are used in your body for your immune system, to keep your hair and skin nice and moist so it doesn't dry out and get brittle. They're used to lubricate your digestive tract, and there's certain ones we'll talk about in a bit that are especially important for your digestive tract. They are used to carry substances in the body. There are so many uses of fats. So let's talk about good fats versus bad fats. The first principle that I want to get across is when you have a fat that has a certain chemical structure and a certain sense of stability chemically, when you apply heat to a fat, and this applies mostly to the fats in the polyunsaturated class, but also at higher levels of heat, this principle applies to the saturated class of fats. And we'll talk in a second about what that means. But when you when you apply heat to a fat, it causes fatty acid oxidation. What that means is the molecules within the fat become unstable. And in becoming unstable, there's the formation of something called free radicals, which are unstable molecules coursing through your system with an unstable number of electrons. And they're looking for stability, so they steal electrons from other places. And then that leaves the other molecule unstable. And then they steal, and then the next molecule is unstable. So it causes a ripple effect of unstable fats that has been known to damage the vessels of the lining of your blood vessels, to damage your organs, to damage your immune system, and to create a whole host of activities that favor the development of cancer and cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and on. So the good fats are the fats the way they come in nature, in whole foods, generally. They come inside of avocados. They come inside of coconuts. They come inside of nuts and seeds that grow on trees out in nature that supply food for animals, like squirrels and other small animals, that supply food for people. The bad fats are those that have been processed and heated and damaged. There's another processing called hydrogenation. If you've ever picked up a label and read partially hydrogenated soybean oil or partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, that's a process where you take a fat in the class of fats called unsaturated and you make it saturated so that it is more stable at room temperature and in heating. So let's talk a second about saturated versus unsaturated when it comes to fats. Fats are made from a string of carbons and hydrogens, atoms. And when you put them together in certain ways, and they're usually long chains of these, you create fatty acids. And certain of these fatty acids have all of their carbons completely saturated with hydrogens. So there's no empty bonds there. Those are called saturated fats. And while they get a bad rap in terms of heart disease, saturated fats are actually not the bad guys. Certain types of saturated fats are more harmful than others. But those are the more stable fats because there's no empty places for hydrogen to attach to. So those are pretty stable fats. Okay, so you can heat them, and not a lot happens until you get to very high heats, which starts to damage. They're stable at room temperature. They're usually more solid at room temperature. And if you use saturated fats in things like baked goods, cookies, pies, breads, that are going to sit on the shelf, not be refrigerated, be exposed to high temperatures perhaps, saturated fats increase the shelf life. So a lot of manufacturers have figured out that they can take a fat that's not fully saturated, an unsaturated fat. And an unsaturated fat is one that has some of the carbons are open. So you can actually add extra hydrogens or other molecules. could be attached in there. And there's monounsaturated fats, and those are found in things like avocados and coconut and macadamia nuts, and some of the other nuts have a small percentage, sesame seeds, olives, and olive oil. And then there's things called polyunsaturated fats, where more than one of those bonds are open. And those are the least stable of all, because there's the most availability of reactivity. Those are things like corn oil and safflower oil, and some of your nuts, like almonds and sesame seeds and walnuts, and all of them basically have polyunsaturated fats. It doesn't mean they're exclusively polyunsaturated, but they have a large percentage. So getting back to the hydrogenated, what the process of hydrogenation is to take a polyunsaturated fat and make it a saturated fat artificially in the lab through chemical process. And what that does is it changes the orientation of the molecule. It puts a bend in the molecule, and that becomes a trans fat versus a cis fat. And the trans fat, because of their shape and their orientation, are damaging in your body. And these are the ones that I say stay away from like it's the plague. All the foods that contain anything that says partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated oil. Stay away from those. Those are the bad fats. Those are the fats that are not found in nature, and your body does not handle them well. Your body will cause inflammation to happen in the arteries. It will irritate and aggravate and cut open the arteries. So those are the ones to stay away from. The other ones to stay away from are heated fats, because in heating, you create that instability, and you can actually create a trans fat shape when you heat them at high temperatures. So good fats versus bad fats. Now, whole food fats are going to be superior to oils, because oils are really not a whole food. Olive oil, as good as it might have some health benefits to it. Coconut oil might have some health benefits to it. Safflower oil, sunflower oil, all those oils. They're great for your tongue, because they add this really nice mouthfeel to foods. But really, they're not a whole food. And their use should be, I believe, very limited. I don't believe in using a lot of oils in food preparation, cooked or uncooked, especially not cooked, because of the instability. So whole food fats are really good fats, unless it's in excess. Fractured food and processed fats can be harmful. I'm not saying that olive oil or coconut oil are harmful. I'm saying it's less beneficial than the whole food. Why? Part of it is that a lot of the nutrients are taken out. The fiber is taken out. The vitamins, the minerals, all those things are taken out, and you're just left with oil. So a lot of people think that, you know, I'm on a whole foods diet, I eat whole foods only. But really, if you use olive oil or any of the oils, you're not on a really whole foods diet. And it really is similar to taking a flour and refining it down to just the starch component, like the white flour, white rice, taking off the nutrients. That's similar to the oils. Although oils can have a therapeutic effect, and they are useful in some cases. So we have essential fats and non-essential fats. Your body has the ability to make certain nutrients when you give it certain other nutrients. Same is true with fats. Your body can make saturated fats. Your body can make monounsaturated fats. In fact, your body can make all the fats it needs except for two. And these two fats are in the categories of omega-6 and omega-3. So we talk about the omega categories. We've got omega-3, 6, and 9 are the main ones. Olive oil falls into the omega-9. It's a partially saturated, a monounsaturated fat. The polyunsaturated fats fall into two categories, omega-3 and omega-6. Your body can't make two of those omega-6 fats, linoleic acid and alpha-linolenic. You need a constant daily supply of these fats. So to go on a no-fat diet or a very low-fat diet puts you at risk of not having these guys. The role of the omega-6 and 3 fats is in the role of inflammation, immune system function, muscle spasm, and there's some checks and balances built in by nature. The omega-3s, for the most part, are anti-inflammatory. When your body sees a need to become inflamed, like you've had an injury, the omega-3s come to the rescue and turn off the inflammation when the healing is accomplished. The omega-6, for the most part, turn on the inflammation, although there are certain omega-6s, like GLA, gamma-linoleic acid, that help with inflammation, but it can also turn off the turn on the inflammation when they're in high amounts. There's an omega-6 fat called arachidonic acid, which is very inflammatory. A lot of people say, well, that's the bad guy because it's inflammatory. Well, yes and no. You need to be able to make inflammation, because if you couldn't make inflammation, you'd die. You'd have a small injury, a cut to your arm, and your body wouldn't be able to close it, wouldn't be able to heal it, because the inflammation brings healing to the area. So it's all about the Goldilocks principle again, checks and balances, too much, too little. The American diet tends to be too high in omega-6 fats. Omega-6 fats are found in all the fats we talked about before, the sunflower, safflower, corn, soybean, all those things, and all the nuts and seeds for the most part. There's also the omega-3s that are high in some of those nuts and seeds, but omega-3 is not as predominant. Omega-3 is found in things like flax seeds and hemp seeds, chia seeds, blue-green algae, some of your greens, some of your sea vegetables, some of your wild greens like purslane. They all have significant amounts of omega-3. Those are the omega-3 essential fats. Now, when we're talking about the metabolism of those fats, those fats get lengthened by your body to create things called EPA and DHA. And those are the things that are found in fish oils. And people are just exalting the value of fish oils. But in a truly functioning body, you don't need fish oils. If your body has all the nutrients it needs, has those essential fats from things like the chia seeds, the hemp seeds, the flax seeds, walnuts, and some of those greens and sea vegetables, algae, it can convert that as long as it has the right nutrients, B vitamins, vitamin C, magnesium, manganese, boron. So if you have good nutritional status, you're eating lots of your good green foods and chewing well and digesting well, then you don't have a problem making EPA or DHA. And I've seen that. I run tests. There's a test called the blood spot fatty acid test that's done by a company called Metametrics. And Metametrics runs this test on your blood, and it will tell you what the levels of the different fats are. And that's just a short version. They also have a more comprehensive version, and other companies have this as well, diagnostic labs. It will tell you how your fats are doing, how your balance is. And I've had people come in who are on a completely vegan diet, meaning no animal sources, haven't had fish, haven't had fish oils, and their omega status is great. I've had other people come in on that same diet, and their omega status is bad. I've had people come in, and they're eating meat and fish and a well-rounded by American standards diet, and their essential fats are bad. So it has to do with not just like the big overview of, do I eat meat or not eat meat? Do I eat fish or not eat fish? But how well your body's functioning inside. So those are the essential fats. If you don't get enough of the essential fats, you're going to find that you have allergies. You have inflammation. You have joint pain. You have skin rashes that don't go away. Right? You may have menstrual cramps because the omega-3s, those fats, are anti-spasmodic as well as anti-inflammatory. So you may have muscle spasms and cramps. There's a whole host of symptoms. And if you have any of those, you may have a fatty acid deficiency. So you see, fats aren't good or bad. Fats are essential. In excess, they're bad. If you eat the wrong kinds, they're bad. In the right amount and in the made-by-nature types, they can be very, very, very helpful. So how much is too much fat? How much is too little fat? There's debate about that. We should have a 10% fat or less, 10% of our intake or less should be fat, according to, say, the Dean Ornish diet, or that's a heart diet, or the 80-10-10 diet, which is, you know, a predominantly fruit diet. Then you have the, on the other end, you've got the Atkins people who are saying, well, there's no such thing as too much fat. You can have a 60, 70, 80% fat diet as long as you don't have any carbohydrates. So I think what we've done as a society is we've tried to demonize different macro and micronutrients in our diet. And macronutrients are big nutrients like protein, carbohydrates, fat. Those are the macros. And the micros are more like vitamins and minerals. They're needed in smaller amounts. But really, demonizing these things isn't solving any problems. It's just confusing people. The first thing to start with fats is identify the bad fats in your diet and get rid of them. And we've talked a little bit about what those are. And then figure out the right percentage. So what is the right amount? We don't know. It's going to be different for person to person. It's going to be different from stage in your life to stage in your life, depending on whether you're a growing child or an aging senior. It depends on whether you're male or female, menstruating or not menstruating. It depends on how much inflammation you have in your body. All of these things. There's things called medium chain triglycerides, which are found in coconut oil, which are really helpful for your gut lining. Does that mean you should be eating coconut oil? In my opinion, no. In my opinion, the oil should be kept to a minimum and the whole food should be eaten. But certainly coconut is not a bad food. Coconut has been demonized. It's not a bad food. There are very healthy populations that thrive on it because that's what grows in their area. It's too much coconut. Bad, yes. If you're just eating coconut oil, is that a problem? Yes. But coconut's not a demon. There's things called short-chain fatty acids, which live in your lower intestine, which create a really healthy environment for your colon bacteria. Too little of those, and you have an overgrowth in your gut. Too many of those, there's not any known problems, but I'm sure there would be problems that we would find, but most people don't have that problem. So what should you do? I'm going to bottom line this, and I think what we're going to do is come back and do another show sometime in the near future to just really go into some specifics of the therapeutics of fat and how to use it. But for now, what I'm going to leave you with is go with whole food fats as much as possible. If you're going to use oil, use it as a condiment. A little bit of olive oil to moisten your vegetables when you steam them or stir-fry them or eat them raw so that the seasonings stick. Mostly whole food fats. Stick with organic fats so that they don't concentrate the pesticides. Avoid heated fats as much as possible. If you're heating with fats, only use coconut or olive oil or highly saturated fats that aren't going to be unstable. The amount of fat you eat is going to be variable and determined by you. If you want to get tested, you can go to directlabs.com where you can access some of the fatty acid testing and see where you're at. You can look at your skin, your hair, your nails, your immune system function, your inflammation, and decide for yourself. Fat, good, bad, demons, friends, they're all of those. Depends on the nature, the processing, the quantity, and you. So join us again in a few weeks. And drritamarie.com, www.drritamarie.com. more information, and I encourage you to have a great day. I'm going to add just one more little tidbit. There's a particular fat called DHA that has an especially important role in maximizing maintaining your blood sugars, which means it has an important role in preventing diabetes and precursors, pre-diabetic states like insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. We know that diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and insulin resistance have a vital role in cardiovascular disease. It's a risk factor for cardiovascular disease would be out of control blood sugars, diabetes, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, or pre-insulin resistance. Nobody talks about pre-insulin resistance. We talk about insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, and those are where there's already a pretty significant problem going on that's measurable. But nobody talks about pre-insulin resistance. And there are lots of people, thousands, millions of people running around with pre-insulin resistance that they won't catch until it goes into insulin resistance and then diabetes. So I would encourage you, if you want to learn more about this particular fat, to join me on a teleseminar that I'm hosting next week on Thursday, the 23rd of February, and it's called 5 Simple Strategies to Balance Your Blood Sugar so that you can have a trim waistline, lots of energy, and just feel great, focus mentally, etc. And I would encourage you to go and sign up for that at a web address called byeb4.com, byeb4.com. It's going to be an awesome teleseminar in addition to sharing with you about that particular fat, DHA, and its role, and how to supplement with that if you need it, how to get it from your diet if you can. We'll be talking about really taking your health to the next level by learning to assess your own blood sugar and your own balance and how your body's handling your sugars. And fats play a huge role, and we'll talk more about that, saturated fats versus unsaturated fats. So thank you so much for being here today. Go to byeb4.com, and you'll learn about how to get blood sugars under control and this particular fat called DHA that has a huge role. And for more general information, drritamarie.com has a host of free resources for you to help you to become healthier, happier, and tap into your unlimited potential, which I have a feeling may just be sitting dormant right now. You have greatness within. When you can get your physical body and your mind aligned, you are destined for greatness. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.